Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Mark. Mark chapter 7, reading verse 7 through 9. Jesus is speaking, he's answering the Pharisees, and he says, "Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things ye do." And he said unto them, "Full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition." And we're picking up where we were last week. But let's pray. Heavenly Father, I'm begging you, Lord, please use me to teach this message. And please touch the hearts and minds, enlighten the eyes of the understanding of those listening, that people would understand the error that's being taught on television mostly and in some churches today, that their eyes would be opened and that they would repent and that they would serve you with a pure heart and be disciples. Lord, help us today in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, picking up where we were last week, I want to say that it's important to understand where I'm coming from. Jesus rebuked the Pharisees. We're going to read a bit from Paul, where he warns against the teachings of Judaism. God loves the Jews. Jesus loves the Jews. In fact, Jesus is King of the Jews. He said salvation is to the Jew first, and then the Gentiles. I love Jews. You ought to love Jews. And if you have something in your heart that you don't like Jews, or you're suspicious of them, or what have you, you need to get that out of your mind and out of your heart. You need to repent. Because if you fight against Jews, God will fight against you. That's in the Bible. But Jesus came against bad Jewish religion. You can read it all over the Gospels. You can read it through the book of Acts. You can read Paul's writings. He talked about the Judaizers, what have you. Again, the New Testament is not against Jews, but Jewish religion that has gone astray. And it's because of Jewish religion that Jews don't surrender to their own Messiah and be Christians. It's because of bad religion. But last time I gave a brief overview. There are several different Jewish sects or divisions, or let's say denominations, I guess. There's the Orthodox, and they claim to be descendants of the Pharisees that we read about in the New Testament. They're strict about following laws and rules and what have you. And we talked about some of that. Some of it's from the Old Testament. Some of it's made up rules and regulations that the rabbis came up with. Then there's the Reformed group or groups. They're not so big on the different rules. Then there's the Karaite they are descended from the Sadducees. There aren't many of them around, I suppose. But the difference between the different sects, it all hinges upon not the Old Testament, but the extra writings. We talked about them. There's the oral law, there's the Talmud, the Midrash, the mystical thing, the Kabbalah, maybe some things that I haven't found in my studies. All of these different books. And the Talmud, Midrash would have you, these all reinterpret Scripture. And that's a problem. That's a problem because you can't hardly talk to a Jew. If you go to Isaiah 53, he will say, well, the rabbis said thus and so, and they've all redefined it. And they've had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years of study. Everything in the New Testament, every bit of Christian doctrine. We would go to the Old Testament, and you know that I do. I go to the Old Testament all the time to preach the New Covenant. They've had a long time to go and look up these references and redefine them. And they'll teach their people, no, it doesn't mean what those Christians say. But the difference between the sects, it has to do with the interpretation of these extra writings. These extra interpretations, commentaries by the rabbis and what have you. Isaiah 8:20 said, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it's because there is no light in them. The Old Testament is wonderful. It's a schoolmaster that brings us to Christ. But these reinterpretations that the rabbis have done, there's no light in them. They will lead you away from Christ. And that's an important thing to keep in mind as we continue this study. But he said in verse 13 in Mark that the Pharisees and what have you, they made the word of God of none effect through their tradition. The word of God is quick and powerful. We can quote the rest of the verse. David in the Psalms talked about how he loved the law, the Old Testament. It was his meditation night and day. But Judaism, the religion of Judaism, and the interpretations of the rabbis, they're very insistent. No, the Old Testament has nothing to do with Jesus. Christians are mistaken. That is the message of Judaism. There's a move afoot to convince Christians to go back and take a look at Judaism or Hebrew roots, Hebraic roots, what have you. And it's a dead end. It's a dead end. You will not find anything illuminating about Jesus Christ and what he did on Mount Calvary by reading Jewish writings. If you go to Titus chapter 3, and then 1 Timothy, and then 2 Timothy, then Titus chapter 1, that's what I'm going to go through. You'll see a progression. They start out talking about the law, then a little bit less law and more of the rabbinical teachings, then even less law, and then leaving the law all aside, Paul talks about fables, Jewish fables. But let's start. In Titus chapter 3, verse 8 through 11, I suppose, he starts out talking about living right and maintaining good works. But in verse 9, again, Titus chapter 3, but avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. Unprofitable. ain't going to do you no good to go back and look at that stuff. It's not going to profit you. Verse 10, a man that is a heretic, after the first and second admonition, reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself. Paul was very careful to point out heretics. Peter pointed out heretics. Jesus pointed out heretics. The prophet Elijah pointed out heretics. But today, we coddle the heretic. We idolize them. We send them our money. We attend their conferences. Instead of, after the first and second admonition, rejecting him, saying, no, no, he's been told, he teaches false doctrine, he's not a Christian, not a true prophet, or what have you, a false brother, and I'm not going to listen anymore. No, we continue to watch week after week, sometimes day after day, depending on which one, and we continue to send them our money, and it's wrong to do so. They're heretics, you need to reject them, Paul said here in Titus chapter 3, verse 10. 1 Timothy. Paul does the same thing. He greets the people, would have you. But he's talking to Timothy. He says in verse 3, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some, that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith. So do. Fables. And again, he's talking about Jewish fables. Not let's go to the book of Leviticus. Not let's read about when God delivered the children of Israel from Egyptian bondage in the book of Exodus. Not, hey, let's read about what Solomon said and gain some wisdom. None of that stuff. Jewish fables, things that they make up. Specifically, the Kabbalah was written in the Middle Ages, but that same kind of idea of mysticism and occult and paganism, that's what they brought into the Jewish religion. And again, that stuff's not going to help the Christian. You're wasting your time if you look to that stuff. It's unprofitable. They're just fables. We know what a fable is. Aesop's fables. It's things that didn't happen, that couldn't happen. Aesop might have had some moral thing to teach you, and that's good as far as it goes. But religious fables don't help anybody. And again, the Kabbalah, today's Kabbalah, that's what it's about. Mysticism and paganism and New Age, unbiblical nonsense. It doesn't help. Not a bit. Here in verse 6, it says, from which, from the truth, some having swerved have turned aside unto vain jangling. It's like you take a set of keys out of your pocket and you just rattle them. I mean, if you rattle them, you know what they sound like. You can find your keys in the dark, maybe, I guess. But nobody else wants to hear that. It's just vain jangling. The gibberish, the nonsense, the bunk that comes out of some charismatic and Hebrew roots mouths is astonishing. The things that some people on television and maybe YouTube channels or whatever, that they come up with junk, nonsense, doesn't help you at all. You say, preacher, why are you saying all this? Why are you being so negative? Because I'm trying to save your soul from hell. I'm trying to make sure that you don't believe a lie and be damned. He said we need to reprove and rebuke and reject the heretic. I say these things because I love you. Paul said these things because he loved those he was preaching to and writing to. And Jesus himself called the Pharisees hypocrites because he loved them. And he was concerned about the people who else was listening. He had to confront error. It's not a fun task, but it's something that has to be done. 2 Timothy, chapter 4, familiar passage. I charge thee therefore before God, and before the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick, the alive, and the dead, at his appearing and at his kingdom. Preach the word. Preach the word. Preach the word. That's what we need to do, is preach the word. Go into the book of Judges, what have you, and show how something that they did in Judges, perhaps Gideon or whatever, show how it foreshadows Jesus Christ. Show how we ought to live and do good works, as we mentioned earlier, from the Old Testament, from the New Testament. Preach the word. You know, it's not just preaching the word in churches. It's not just preaching the word to Christians, but to sinners. I don't do much, but I've done a little bit work down in the French Quarter, passing out tracts on Royal Street. When I used to live in Atlanta back in the early 90s, every week, 8 o'clock, we'd go downtown Atlanta. We'd meet in a certain parking lot, and all the homeless, they knew we were going to come. They'd show up. We'd give them hot dogs and tennis shoes, what have you. We'd hold a service and preach to them. We'd minister them, we'd counsel them, what have you, pray for them. We'd send out teams witnessing, going up and down the streets. If we met someone, we'd try to get them in conversation, try to tell them, hey, you know, God loves you. I mean, you're doing this sin and stuff, you need to quit, you need to live for him, but hey, God loves you. Look what Jesus did for you. You know, sometimes we're in an echo chamber. You watch TV, and it's the same message again and again and again. If you want to talk about Creflo Dollar, you know what he teaches. If you want to talk about Kenneth Copeland, well, everybody knows what he teaches. It's an echo chamber. Everybody knows. And they kind of play off of each other, all the different false teachers. It's an echo chamber. But we need to go out into the highways and byways and compel them to come in. Preach the word. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, to tell them, hey, you're wrong. Rebuke, to bring them up short and say, look, this is wrong. You're in sin. You need to stop teaching that, what have you. To exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Paul said this 2,000 years ago, and it's come to pass. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. I've just described Christian television. Paul was prophesying that time has come. You know, I believe that Jesus is coming back soon. Don't know when, can't tell you when, don't look to me to give you a day, but soon. But before the second coming, there's the apostasy, the great falling away. If you want to talk about Bible prophecy, you today are living, you today are experiencing the fulfillment of Bible prophecy, the great falling away. 50 years ago, every church you went to, they told you, hey, Jesus gave his life, hung on the cross, and bled and died so that you could come to God and have your sins forgiven. A very familiar story. But that's not what people sit on the couch and watch. They watch and listen to the message of seed faith and hundredfold return. Money cometh, what have you. The gospel of greed. Paul's prophecy has come to pass. If you don't think the Bible's true, Paul predicted Christian television. But watch thou, he says, in all things endure afflictions. You know, suffering is part of the gospel. You won't hear Creflo Dollar telling people they ought to suffer for the Lord. To do the work of an evangelist and make full proof of thy ministry, Paul said to Timothy. Titus chapter 1 starts off verse 7, for a bishop or a pastor must be blameless, what have you, that he ought to live a just and holy life, that he ought to hold to the faithful word of God and to preach sound doctrine. But in verse 10 he says, for there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, or those that teach Judaism, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert or overthrow whole houses, teaching things which they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake, or for money. Preachers preaching for money. How much was that jet that Creflo Dollar was talking about getting? He's just about money. You know, I'm all about money. I gotta pay the rent. Gotta pay the phone bill. You gotta buy food. When the truck breaks down, I gotta fix it, maybe put tires on it. Money answereth all things. Got a church. If you go to church, you need to put in the bucket because they have to keep the lights on. Have to make sure the bug man comes every month and sprays. And maybe there's some outreach. Maybe there's some missionaries that they support. We need money. But one that preaches for money is a hireling and a deceiver. You shouldn't give your money to deceivers. Don't be taken in by them. But in verse 13 it says, wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and the commandments of men that turn from the truth. But in verse 16, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate, or apostatized, or fallen from the faith. Judaizers, that's what Paul is talking about, Judaizers, those that preach the Jewish religion, were to preach justification by faith, but they preach a complicated system of works. They teach fables, made-up commandments, reinterpreted Old Testament scriptures. You get a messianic scripture, the rabbis have twisted it around to make it unrecognizable. And fables, and mysticism, and pagan practices, idolatry, New Age, and what have you. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? I think we ought to pray for the Jews, that the veil that is over their eyes would be lifted and that they'd come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. But that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm concerned about is something called Hebrew roots or Hebraic roots that's taught on the internet. If you go to the bookstore, the books are there. It's taught on YouTube. It's taught in some churches here in New Orleans. I believe in Hebrew roots. Abraham was a Hebrew, and he was justified by faith. and I preach justification by faith. But Judaism, Jesus and all the apostles condemned. Hebrew roots is really about Judaism. It teaches from the Kabbalah, the writings of the rabbis, what have you, that have nothing to do with Jesus Christ. We've established that. If you read the Kabbalah, you'll turn away from Jesus. You might lose your salvation. Or if that's all you hear, you might not have ever been saved to begin with. Jonathan Kahn teaches this. Jacob Prash teaches this. Perry Stone's before it, but he teaches some of the same things. And it's foolishness, and we as Christians shouldn't have anything to do with it. But we do. They'll think of something, they'll market it, they'll write books, they'll put it on TV and have conferences, and we'll buy the books. We'll spend the money, we'll send in the $100 check or whatever. The blood moons, remember that? Nothing ever came of that. It was a lie. It was a lie. Something dug up, something some rabbi wrote 500 years ago or something, marketed and says, oh, blood moons, and everybody buys the book. What about the Shemitah? More nonsense. If you follow these things, you'll turn away from the simplicity which is in Christ, and you may lose your soul. What's next? I'm sure those guys that write those books are coming up with something else, and they'll write the books, and millions of Christians sitting on the couch will buy the books and read them and get all worked up about it. And the writers and the authors, John Hagee, whatever, will get rich. They'll make more millions off of you. And what they say will not come to pass. We need to forget that stuff. As Paul has said in Titus chapter 3, 1 Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, and Titus chapter 1, we've gone over the scriptures. We've heard what it had to say. Don't follow fables. But look to Jesus Christ and the love of God and the sacrifice that God made. Trust in Jesus Christ. Look to Him. Study about Him. And leave the Jewish fables alone, as the Apostle Paul told us to do. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.